our specific request for information, Deborah Hart at the Scarlet Committee, and now Dr. Rago. I talked to my staff about this particular issue, the cab cam issue. I have my own specific concerns. I talked to the plan development team. And I think now it's, with everything being said, the stage has been set for what I consider to be the next logical step, a logical step that pertains to something happening now rather than later relative to the HAB camps. So with that said, I'd like to make a motion. And Karen has the motion. I believe it's now time to take this issue, which is extremely controversial, at least in some quarters, in some camps, and again, near and dear to my heart, I think it's now time for us to move this particular question to the SSC for some review. So I would move that. Okay, I move that the SSC be tasked to, number one, review the C-Scallop HABCAM survey technology and methods to determine if the HABCAM is appropriate at this time for performing annual C-Scallop surveys. Two, review how HABCAM results will be integrated into C-Scallop assessments for determining biomass and fishing mortality. And three, determine the impacts on assessments of reduced survey coverage from current dredge and SMAS video surveys. To me, this gets to the heart of the matter, and I believe now we can benefit greatly from an SS review. So that's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
I needed to ask Gene a question, but Paul, you had a comment. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. David, I was wondering, speaking to all the council, you know, the SSC is our process, and they're volunteers, and they're straight out looking at all our assessments and setting ABCs and risk processes and all that type of work that we request. They give us scientific advice. I think some of the peer review processes belong with the Science Center. And I would ask that you reconsider this, and we ask the Science Center to conduct a peer review, just like they did when they did the Bigelow peer calibration. They had a peer review. They scheduled it. They had their terms of reference, all those type of things that I think that given the amount of work we have within the council process, I have no problem with asking for volunteers from our SSC to support them, if anyone wants to volunteer to do it. But I think this is a significant workload, and they already have a pretty significant workload for us. And I think it's more appropriate for us to ask the Science Center to peer review this themselves, and we'll maybe support it.
Well, I am open-minded on this. I would like this to be done as soon as possible. That's why I say the SSC. I appreciate the work demands on the SSC. However, this fishery is worth, $425 million. There's an indication that we may have poor recruitment coming in. So, in light of the need to have this done, I thought the SSC would be the appropriate vehicle to use. I don't know if the center would be favorably disposed to this kind of a review. Perhaps it would be. I stand to be guided, of course, by what the center is willing to do. But if the center is not willing to do this or does not feel it can do this, then I would like to leave the motion as is to have it be brought to the SSC. Otherwise, it won't get done. And I feel this is too important for us to set aside.
The question that I was asking to council, and we should probably actually see if we get this seconded first, and then I can go into my discussion with Gene. Is there a second? Sally? Okay. My concern was that even if the SSC had the capability, went through and did this kind of peer review, then what? We still don't have the ability to, as a council, to influence how the Science Center directly influence how they incorporate that. I think it would be far more appropriate and within the process to have something that requested them to do an updated peer review of it, something along that lines. But my question to Gene was whether this motion was out of order or not. I guess it's of the category of being sort of on the edge, but I won't rule it out of order. But
if I may, Mr. Chairman, again, Dr. Karp can help us out in this regard. But if to do it through the center, we end up having the work done at the end of 2000 and or middle of 2013. I think that brings us too far into the future. But again, perhaps Dr. Karp could enlighten us relative to what the center might be able to do or willing to do.
Bill, do you care to comment on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, first of all, I'd just like to reflect very briefly on Paul's presentation, because I actually feel that we've gone through all of the steps that are necessary to address these concerns about the quality of the capacity of HABCAM, and that we've laid out a plan which has the appropriate checks and balances, and that we've also shown that there has been already some degree of peer review. I agree that there needs to be ongoing peer review, and I'm supportive of that, and I do support the concept of the center taking on the responsibility to conduct a peer review along the lines that Dr. Pierce has laid out. But I don't want to lose the sense that, in my view, we've actually, in this case, gone through all the right steps. We've laid out a very clear process, and we have a great deal of confidence in the ability of this system to perform. Furthermore, we have backup mechanisms in place in the event that we actually encounter problems. So in terms of right at this particular point, our ability to stand behind this design and this survey, I think that's very strong. But I also agree entirely with comments that were made earlier that we don't just have to convince ourselves. We have to convince the community, and that there's a lot of people who are impacted by the work that we do and are interested in other ways, and it is incumbent upon us to be able to not just make a statement like the one that I made, but to actually be able to bring peer review resources to bear to back that up. So the short answer is yes, we are willing and able to do that. The timing I really cannot speak to right now, because there are complex issues with regards to workload of staff and the resources that would have to be identified. But what I can do is make a commitment to look at that very carefully and to get back to the council in short order. I'm not sure if that's acceptable, but I don't want to make a commitment that I can't follow through with. I want to be absolutely sure what we can do and what the timing and resource constraints are on us, and I do want to move forward.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'll wrap it up on my end. I appreciate Dr. Karp's perspective. The center is obviously quite confident that the HABCAM is ready to go and it will be used. I still have a great deal of uncertainty relative to how usable it will be in 2012, maybe even in 2013, which is why I want the SSC to look at that. Dr. Karp indicated there has to be community support for this, meaning industry support for this HABCAM, and right now I don't see it. And if the SSC reviews this and says all is well, then that puts us on very strong footing to say that the SSC has critiqued it, it has addressed our specific concerns, and now we need to use it because we can. It has stood up under SSC critique, under SSC review. So I would I want my motion to stand as is, that it will be a charge to the SSC. It has to be a timely review, even if it is later on this year. It has to be timely. Otherwise, I think we put ourselves in a very awkward position relative to working with the fishing industry and defending whatever allocation decisions we make in the near future that would be based on the HABCAM. This review is very important.
Council comments. Dave Gatel.
Well, I have a couple comments. One is that Dr. Stokesbury deferred his time. I don't know what he has to present. I don't know if it's relative to this motion or not, but I'd like to know what it is. And second, looking at this letter from Senator Kerry to Sam Roth, the last sentence troubles me a little bit. I get the impression that people may know something that I don't, and that is that the last part of it is made available to mitigate negative impacts should the survey show a decline in recruitment. That gives me the sense that somebody thinks there's a decline in recruitment. I don't know who that somebody is. But I would say one thing you don't want to end up with is the situation you have right now with groundfish, where just at the time that we change boats, we change a whole bunch of things, all of a sudden Gulf of Maine cod seem to disappear. Now, scallops go through the same thing. I guarantee you what's going to happen. People are going to blame the change in the survey. They're not going to blame the fact that the scallops may have disappeared. That's a guaranteed. So I think, like I said, I'd like to know what Dr. Stokesbury has to say, but I'd also, before I vote on this motion, but I'd also, caution people that when something's if something's about to decline, the more sources of information we have, the better. Because if people have to swallow a bitter pill, they want to make sure that it's the right pill and that somebody hasn't dealt them a handful of bogus script.
Other council comments? Mark.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I need to be reminded a little bit of, I guess, the scallop stock assessment process, in particular benchmarks, and when. What is the schedule for scallop assessments, particularly benchmarks, when new methods, new models, new sources of information, new means of combining sources, new sources of information? What I need to be reminded is how that happens. This seems to me to be appropriate for a benchmark stock assessment when it occurs, but I just don't know if that's the case with scallops because I'm not familiar with the stock assessment process.
Dr. Weinberg.
Well, I agree that this would be the sort of information that's new enough that would require peer review, and typically that could be done in the SAWS ARC. The last time scallops had a benchmark assessment was in 2010, and they're typically on a 3-year cycle.
Jim.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm totally confused and don't know what to do about this motion because I heard Dr. Rago say that this HADCAM was reviewed, and I've heard Dr. Karp say the same thing. So am I not understanding something? If it's been reviewed, peer-reviewed, then why are we asking for it to be peer-reviewed again? I'm asking that of Dr. Pierce. So I'm missing something. Or is it the calibration that hasn't been peer-reviewed? I'm missing something somewhere.
Quick comment?
Yeah, just a quick comment. It was 2010. It was, about 2 years ago. A lot has happened since then with HABCAM. We have a new HABCAM technology, and we have now a very frank admission of some needed refinements, of all sorts of sophisticated modeling work that is going to be done, and frankly, it hasn't been very transparent. This peer review would enable that transparency to occur and would enable us to have, with a far greater degree of confidence, faith in what comes out of the HABCAM, which is going to be primarily the source of information for the setting of ACLs in the not-too-distant future. That's my principal concern. I don't want to find myself in a government card-like situation where we find ourselves hard-pressed to deal with the numbers and calling for a benchmark. The benchmark isn't going to do us any good on scallops. That's too far away into the future. I want the SSC to take a look at this now. We have a good SSC. They can give us a clear indication as to the extent to which we should be putting our relying solely or almost solely on the HABCAM results.
Mary Beth.
Well, I certainly do appreciate David's concerns. What we are currently doing in Framework 24, however, is using the HABCAM results that are available as of August 1st, or in or about that time, and integrating them into the framework for determining what the removal rates for the fishery will be. And it's a fairly fast time frame. The SSC is due to review that in August or September. I'm not sure exactly when. And we'll be bringing the initial information to the council at the September meeting, final action in November. So it's a very tight time frame. And adding this review to the review of the specifications, you know, maybe they could comment on some of this. I think that it's probably unlikely they'd be able to do all of these items. Maybe prioritize it. I mean, I'm just not thinking that it's practically going to happen. So what would be your best outcome here, maybe? I certainly do appreciate your concerns, but there's already a schedule in place.
Dee?
In the interest to try to bring maybe a little confidence to the table, in my read of the motion, number one has already sufficiently been done at SARC 50 in 2010, as I read it. Number two, arguably, there could use a little more peer review of the precise variable, different ways you could use that data to come up with an actual biomass estimate. Number three doesn't seem that hard and complicated. It may be possible for the Scallop PDT to, mostly Devorah, bring some of this to the SSC if they have time in September or August when we bring them the Framework 24 information. But the impression I think people have that Framework 24 is only going to use HABCAM results is very far from the truth. We still, the VIMS dredge survey is covering a lot of area, and maybe this is something Kevin was going to mention. The SMEST video survey, while some of the RSA funding was less than what they proposed to cover, I believe the industry is also stepping up to support that. So we will have the entire area with the SMAS survey, I believe. I'd have to check with him. So we're going to be using all of that for Framework 24, as we always do. So there's not going to be, I don't think, the impression that there's this lack of data, less than what we've had in the past. In fact, we're going to have a lot more than we have in the past.
Thank you for that, Dee. I want to go, Kevin, since most of your time is being chewed up here right at the moment, do your comments talk to this motion? Okay, come on up.
Thank you very much. I'm Kevin Stokesbury from the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. I'll try to explain. This is a follow-up to an email that I sent to the chair of the Oversight Committee after hearing Dr. Hart's presentation. Oh, thank you. A couple of weeks ago. And it was my impression, and perhaps it's wrong a bit, but it seemed that her impression of the stock and the situation was different from mine. So that's why I brought these slides, and I want to make it clear that I am concerned about the resource and the point the resource is at. So if you look at these four slides, these four graphs, you can, they are, oh, thanks, that's what I'm there. There, I always, people can see how nervous I am when I use one of these things, but this is 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011. The distribution of the scallop resource at our survey stations. And you can see that with the fishing effort in the Mid-Atlantic, the number of scallops have decreased in the Mid-Atlantic. And Deidre mentioned that it's from our estimates, roughly about 50,000 metric tons.
Go forward. That one, the red button there.
To go forward?
Oh, forward, yeah. Go forward on the right. There you go.
There you go. Okay. So this is recruitment, and you hear people talk about strong recruitment or weak recruitment. Now, the broken line is the recruitment in the Mid-Atlantic, and that 2003, the small scallops that are under 75 millimeters, the scallops that we saw in the Mid-Atlantic, that was a phenomenal recruitment. It happens maybe 10 or every 20 years in the scallop resource. It was a 12, you know, over 12 billion scallops. And then you can see from 2004 on, that's the recruitment normally. So 2008 is considered a relatively good recruitment, but it's nothing compared to what originally was down there with the elephant trunk. And you can also see that in the last 3 years, 2009, 2010, and 11, the recruitment's been very poor in the Mid-Atlantic, and it's also fairly low on George's Bank. So what you have when you have a look at this stock, on the x-axis, the bottom axis, you have exploitable biomass from our survey, and on the y-axis, you have harvest between 2003 and 2011 from the Marine Fisheries Service data from the regional office. And the lines represent the increase in F, either F max or F proxy over time. So the squares are the entire resource. And you can see that as the Marine Fisheries Service has said, overfishing isn't occurring and the resource is not overfished. But that's assuming that the whole stock is a single population or self-sustaining. In actual fact, on George's Bank, you've had less than optimal harvesting. It's been underutilized. And in the Mid-Atlantic, it's been overutilized, and that balances it out to give you an F. The problem is that in the Mid-Atlantic, you're seeing that decline in biomass, and we haven't seen that large recruitment. So what's going to happen is that this year, the survey is absolutely critical, and it's critical for finding the recruits, defining them, and protecting them, and then having a pathway also to shift effort onto the larger scallops. If that doesn't happen, I am worried about a reduction in biomass and an associated reduction in harvest. The only other alternative is to open some of the closed areas on George's Bank that are permanently closed. So that's where a lot of my concern is coming from, and that's my read on the situation. We are going to do our survey again, and as Deidre said, the funding that we received from the RSA was much less than we hoped for, and so I did have to go to my Fisherman Steering Committee. We have a committee that we meet monthly, and ask them for the first time if I could use the funds that we've collected, and we use them to fund a survey each year, and people donate food, fuel, vessels, etc., but they also donate funds, and for the first time I've had to ask them to use that because we're riding on the bit of the earmark fund that we had until the end of August, and then we have to use those funds as bridge funds, or I cannot offer my employees and students a year contract, and it's only a year to year anyway. That will burn up our resources, so this will be the end of our scallop program. We also haven't been able to replace Brad Harris and contribute to the Habitat PDT the way we were with the SASE model. So I have been both very, you know, upset, concerned, and aggressive, and certainly speaking to the people I work with in the industry who are also concerned about this. So I think that some of the concern you hear, that's where it's coming from. But most importantly, we don't want to find out in a situation, as Dave Gaethel said, where we think there might be a reduction, but we don't have the solid information to either A, give people the bad news, or B, act quickly. And we must act quickly. That resource in 2003 wasn't closed quickly enough, and we lost half those scallops, I believe, from incidental mortality. So the time for clear thinking spatial management is now, because I think we're on a bit of a tipping point with this resource. Thank you. Thanks.
Jim?
I get your concerns. I've got all the information that you're just talking about. How does that tie to this motion? I mean, is a peer review by the SSC going to help the situation that you're describing? I can't tie the two together.
The HABCAM, in my opinion, it has been reviewed as far as comparing between the dredge survey and the Marine Fisheries Service dredge survey and itself, but it hasn't been reviewed as far as a stock assessment tool on its own. It hasn't. I mean, for example, the quadrat size, right now only my understanding from Dr. Hart's presentation is that they have only processed about 2% of the data they've collected. And so it's very similar to ours, except that it's a transect, but you take a look at a single, quadrat. But the spacing of that quadrat is important. And the other thing is that one quadrat, which I don't know the area of the HABCAM, but if it's a meter, let's say it's one scallop per meter squared. One scallop per meter squared translates into roughly 25 bushels per nautical mile towed for one commercial dredge. So that's actually a very high density. And so how that's broken down in the spatial models that are used to extrapolate between the single toe along the southern flank and how it's extrapolated in that case north or south, I do not know. And I believe that's what Dr. Pierce is referring to. We're at a crucial point with a scallop survey. And what comes out, everything has to be processed and given to the PDT by August 1st for it to hit the timeline for, as Mary Beth Tooley said. And so my understanding was that only preliminary data was going to be processed from what Dr. Hart said. And so I think that it's important to have a review of that. Our work was certainly reviewed thoroughly, and Paul and I have worked together on it in some cases. And it's been published. And I think that the same standard should be held to the HABCAM. So I guess I support the motion if for what it's worth.
Thank you. Any other members of the audience like to comment to this motion?
Thank you very much. Obviously, I'm a virgin. So my name is John Markey. I'm the lead attorney for the City of New Bedford, and the mayor of New Bedford asked me to come down and to speak on behalf of the city. And I think it's appropriate to speak on this motion because the confidence of the industry, an industry that is significant to the City of New Bedford, needs to have confidence in this organization. Obviously, the ground fisheries has had good times and bad times in the struggling the scallop industry. And I think, to quote Dr. Rigo, was a productive, well-managed fishery at this point in time. And largely, the folks in New Bedford who rely upon this credit SMAST's work and credit the work of the Scallop Committee and this organization with being able to get to the place where it is presently, according to Dr. Rigo, who wants HABCAM, a productive, well-managed fishery. But the person from SMAST is telling us that it is also a fragile fishery. These, both Dr. Rigo and Dr. Stokesbury, seem to be colleagues who worked together a number of years ago. The concern of the city of New Bedford is that we not place, we know that there are people in New Bedford who have spent millions of dollars in the last few years to buy a scallop boat, relying upon the fact that this is a well-managed fishery. And to do that and place it at risk with something which may very well work, it seems to me if we want to be sitting here 3 years from now confident that HABCAM worked, there's a very simple way to do it, to take what industry trusts today and operate it alongside. We have one data point that said in 2010, 89,000 and 87,000 was very close. It worked well. If I just invested $4 million to buy a scalloper and was counting on the fact that I have to pay that off over the next 20 years, I don't want to trust on 1 year's survey. I use the analogy that basically I came up here with my iPad, which I like to take notes on, but I had a piece of paper because I did not want to be looking blankly at you if my new technology doesn't work. And for the next few years, if you use both the HABCAM and SMAST and the dredge, I think you will have the best of all worlds, which is the confidence of the industry that is making investments and that is seeking to try to go forward, and the confidence of the scientists who are trying to come up with new and perhaps more accurate ways that need to be proven over time. That's the point that I would make in regard to this. The other point I just want to make, and I don't want to reiterate it for too long, is scalloping is what is the engine of New Bedford. There's 100,000 people. There are there are hundreds of families that rely upon the scallop industry. The owners, the crews, the shoreside services, the restaurants, the hotels. We need to make sure that this is not placed at risk. And the minimal investment, when you're talking about a $400 million industry, to SMAST that would have the industry on board with you. And in fact, the industry is advocating for Dr. Stokesbury, who's giving them bad news about the Mid-Atlantic, which shows the credibility of this type of work is significant. And the final piece that the mayor asked me to relay to you all is, we do have a new hotel in New Bedford, and we would love to see you in New Bedford at some point in the next 2 years for one of these meetings. And the mayor has said, you know, whomever needs to place us on the agenda for a dog and pony show to welcome you, we would be happy to do so. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bill?
Mr. Chairman, just in wondering how to best address this issue of timeliness and the role of the council and the role of the center in the review process, I'm wondering if one alternative might be to engage the NRCC on this, because the NRCC is the way that the councils work with the agency in prioritizing these kinds of exercises, and there is an NRCC meeting coming up quite soon. So it just occurs to me that this may be one way to move forward here.
Thank you. I see one hand, Ron, and then I'm going to bring it back to the Ron and Harriet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fishery Survival Fund. That was Drew telling me to go up to the microphone. He was supposed to speak, but he has to go catch a plane. Our concerns are really simple. If you're building a new bridge, you don't tear down the old one until the new one's built. And the scallop industry has spent a lot of money, probably on the order of $12 or $15 million for the development of the HABCAM, which in the long term is a very promising tool. What we're afraid is that the Northeast Science Center is rushing it into use without the money behind it. We don't see money. We don't see, you know, they're talking a story, but there's no money. They don't have staff to review the imagery accurately enough that have been tested. In other words, the comparisons with the standards. They don't, they're not going to be, they talk about millions of pictures, but they're only going to be able to look at one out of every 100 or one out of every 1,000 to meet the August 1st deadline. It took them months to just look at the lightship area pictures. The automated tools for reviewing the imagery are nowhere near up to snuff yet. If the Science Center is really, I mean, this is an important, useful tool, but they need millions of dollars. They need they need technicians on staff to maintain it. They need backup equipment. They don't even have the optics winch. So what we're worried about is this is just another low-budget operation, and we're going to suffer from it. So we don't want to move forward unless we see a much more solid plan developed, some money behind it, and certainly the scientific peer review of the product. Right now, it's we were presented a table that showed, oh, look, 87 versus 89,000. I haven't seen a discussion of that. I've just seen a final table presented. I don't know what went behind that. And I don't know if it could, I just don't know what's going on. And it goes back to the fact that we're depending on one individual at the Science Center pushing this system. I know the HABCAM developers have concern about the operation of the unit under the Science Center because of the lack of expertise. So we cannot risk this $2 billion industry rushing into this new technology, as good as the promise is, until we see a much more solid program at the Science Center that is capable of handling this technology. Thank you.
Harriet?
Harriet Diedrichson, New Bedford. As Kevin just said when he spoke, that the industry has stepped forward at his request this year so that they can be funded to complete the research they feel necessary to give the proper numbers by August 1st. National Marine Fisheries in the past has not had their work done by August 1st with a system they've used prior. We never got the paperwork to fish last year till August. They haven't made the deadline. VIMS has made the deadline. SMAS has made the deadline. And National Marine Fisheries has come out after. Where would industry get the confidence to believe all these things that we're hearing today about deadlines? The RSA money was given initially to get a second opinion other than the government. And it was given to get that second opinion by SMAS under the leadership of Brian Rothschild and Kevin Stokesbury. To risk everything, they are a proven commodity. And believe me, National Marine Fisheries tested them to the nth degree when they were putting their work forward. I witnessed some of it myself as Dr. Stokesbury, and you were there, was diving in the tank down at the university. To me, there is no question that SMAS should continue surveying continually through the years. I don't know what this camera is going to do. I do see $19 million there that's come out of RSA money, and I would call what you've been doing product development, which that money was not intended for that in the beginning. You're now going to send some of the surveys. It's going to be done by VIMS. Some's going to be done here. Some's going to be done by, you say, in the HABCAM camera. It's not acceptable. There's people in industry. This is how we feel. If this is the case, give us back our RSA money. That's how strongly we feel. The government does not have confidence from the industry. In 97, they told us that the industry was in a state of collapse. And in 98, you went out and there were all those scallops, and the government set the protocol on those six vessels. Kevin came in after, used that information. They developed their tripod themselves, not with RSA money. And they gave National Marine Fisheries a population number. They've been peer-reviewed extensively. That is not what you have here. It's a rush to risk one of the only successful fisheries you have with something like this. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. Thank you.
going to bring it back to the council. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly heard a lot of information from the public and around the table, and you know, SMAS truly has made great contributions to science for scallops in the region. However, the council's ability to designate RSA funds directly to that survey, we don't have the ability to do that. And so I'm just struggling a little bit with this motion and what things maybe that we could recommend that could make a difference for 2012, given the current schedule we're on and the specification setting process. And so I guess I have a question for Paul and any others from the Science Center. In using the HABCAM this summer, the you know, all of the survey timing is set. I don't think we're going to change that. It is what it is. We have a need to move forward with specifications. If we delay it any further than the current dates, then we definitely will be extremely late implementing in the fishing year. And we've already heard some people come, you know, speak to that being detrimental. So I guess my question is there ability to perhaps increase the number of dredge tows in the short term as we transition into the HABCAM in 2012?
Bill Carp.
Yes, we can do that. And the design that we have developed is one where there's the ability to balance in whatever way we choose to move forward. So there is a mechanism built into the design which would allow us to reduce the amount of HABCAM work and increase the amount of dredging without impacting our ability to conduct the survey.
And to follow up with that, I mean, given all of the issues that have come up, perhaps, I mean, because I just don't see where we're going to get a whole lot done between now and the specification setting process without significant delays. And maybe if there's a sense from the industry that would create greater confidence in the data that we use from this current year, and then we could plan how to move forward to have a more open process of actually getting into these details moving forward. I really, it's about the only thing I can think of at this point and still have the specification process moving forward that we need to have.
Bill?
I think that's a very positive and constructive suggestion. For us, I think the challenge here is to be able to move forward and be innovative and satisfy the whole community that this technology can work and will work at the same time as being able to deliver what's necessary to conduct the assessment. So the question of finding the balance here is really what this is all about, and I think that can be done.
Dave Gaitel, is this to the motion? Or?
Yes. In light of the information that's come up, I have a question for Paul, Dr. Regal. On your slide on page 10, number 3, the one at the top of the last page, that's it. Okay, maybe now in light of what's been said here in the last hour, I get a better sense of the urgency surrounding the first two bullets on this slide, so maybe you could kind of go over them again. It says a demonstrated ability to integrate the dredge, and then it says 100 fewer tows, but only a slight increase in CV. I didn't really pick up on that at the time, but what is a slight increase in CV?
Thank you, Dave. The increase was on the order of about 2 to 3%. I don't mean a proportional increase, but it's less than 10% in terms of the normal CV of the estimates from the dredge survey. When you drop the thing by about 100 tows, in this instance, the coefficient of variation increased to about 12 to 13%. So that's what I mean. So proportionally, it increased 30%, you know, from 10% to 13%. But in terms of the the absolute magnitude. It's still a very precise survey, as is the SMAS video survey.
And then the second bullet is the 2012 dredge survey will continue, but at about half the station density. Now, Dr. Kopp just said maybe that could be increased. I'm trying to get to the bottom of how we move forward in the most productive way for all of us and don't end up in a situation where we change horses right at the time that the stock may decline and then get in the mess we're in now with ground fishing.
Yeah, I think that the absolute magnitude of that balance between the stations as well as the track and everything else, that is something that can be revised and perhaps a less aggressive transition is possible. I mean, I'd want to go back and check on the technical details of that and sort of the balance of ship time and things of that nature. But I think as I hear the sense of the council, it is to maybe not pursue the transition as quickly as possible. I mean, I think whatever cost in terms of logistics and everything, they will be revealed irrespective of whether it's 100 or 200 fewer samples less. So I think that's an important consideration. The post-processing time, again, is as has been indicated, there is a subsampling approach that's gone on. There have been tests of that, and I think that we will be able to address that particular aspect. But, altering the balance between HAPCAM information and dredge survey tows, I think, is certainly something that could be on the table.
Okay, and last, without, I'm going to have to put you on the spot. I mean, if we vote up Dr. Pierce's motion, the way I read that motion, it speaks basically to reviewing the calibration. It doesn't say that exactly, but if you could possibly, Karen, put the motion back up. How the results will be integrated into the sea scallop assessment, that's calibration to me. Determine the impacts on assessments of reduced survey coverage, well, we've sort of covered that. I guess what I'm asking is if we vote this up, is this going to make, is it going to make it more difficult to get the information we need, or is it really not going to change anything?
I don't know. I guess the general answer is, you know, hard work never killed anybody that supervised it, But no, I mean, it is an important balance here, and I know that there has been a great deal of work done by Scott Gallagher, by Devorah Hart, and others on this topic of subsampling. You know, we have a contract statistician Northern Iowa University who did his PhD work here in New England on scallops. So there is a fair amount of ability to review, to assemble the information that has been done thus far. And perhaps that is a report that could be provided and synthesized for the council's consideration, perhaps more importantly to the SSC as a way forward here. If the concerns of the resource and the low recruitment are well documented, both by Kevin, by the NIMS survey, by information provided through the VIMS surveys as well. So we are all aware and concerned with the condition of the resource in that regard. The process of a formal review is of course, the timing, the scheduling, and everything else. And as you're well aware, the other issues with COD and the upcoming SARC are sort of all on the agenda as well as the Mid-Atlantic updates and track, et cetera. But
So well, thank you for an honest answer. I'll just offer you a little bit of a light comment. Maybe it wasn't the asteroids that did it in the dinosaurs. It was hard work. Thank you.
If just before I call on you, I just sort of wanted to give at least my impression of where we are. I think there have been some good thoughts that came from the Scollop chair. I think that if I heard correctly from Bill and the Science Center, there was a thought that we should be doing some, we should be bringing the issue of the peer reviewing to the NRCC to see if there would be a way forward with that through coordinating that. For an immediate issue, I heard Paul Rago say that you understand that they would like to be more of the traditional survey going on before there's more reliance on the HABCAM in the immediate future, sort of as a slower transition towards that. It seems to me that we've gotten some movement on this issue in the right direction, and you know, I'm not sure. I mean, we have to dispense with this motion, but it certainly seems to me that we're getting to where we need to be, Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that your characterization of where we're at is pretty good. And relative to this motion, you know, certainly I've heard from the industry a number of times that the most important thing for Framework 24 is specifications, specifications, specifications. And so, you know, also heard Deirdre say that we actually are going to have, you know, equal, if not more, information available for the spec process this year. And I also heard her say that there may be, and I'm not sure if she said this to Mike or just to me as a side, that there may be an opportunity for the PDT to bring some of these issues forward. I doubt they're going to be able to bring this whole list forward when they, you know, bring their Framework 24 to the SSC. So, I mean, to me, I could make a motion to amend. The maker of the motion could remove, that's not the right word, it's getting late, this particular motion. But, you know, this could take an extra day for the SSC. Perhaps if we just said that, you know, from the council's perspective, that the priority for the SSC needs to continue to be Framework 24, and to the extent that time is available, that these items could be reviewed, and that we have an understanding going forward that we will be asking the service to consider increase this probably a little too long for a motion, increased dredge tows for a slower transition in 2012, and consideration of the NRCC for stock assessment and full peer review of the HABCAM process. So that, I'm sorry, Karen, for being so windy there.
Is that a motion to amend?
That, well, I guess that could be a motion to amend, unless the maker of the motion would like to just
You haven't been reading your book, have you?
No, the book looks good, but I haven't read it yet.
I think that there's enough to that. It has to be a motion to amend rather than a friendly. But
just a clarification, there seems to be a misunderstanding. This motion would not postpone the specifications. All right, the specifications are going to occur. We are going to use whatever is available for August to set the specifications for the next few fishing years. This just sets the stage for a required review by the SSC to deal with these specific issues. If the SSC doesn't do it, I don't think anyone really is. This is where it needs to be done, with the center coming before the SSC to describe what is being done, to elaborate more upon what has been provided to us. It will not delay the specification, so please don't think that. I don't want this motion to be amended in any way if that is the intent, that is fear of the specifications being delayed. That is not the intent. That will not happen. This is a very appropriate motion as far as I'm concerned. This is a job that needs to be done. I know there are people who disagree with that, but once again, from talking with individuals who are aware of what is going on with regard to HABCAM, there's too much unknown right now. And I think it was stated very well by Ron Smolowitz when he got to the microphone. Made a very compelling case for this motion being passed. This is not going to set the specifications back. It doesn't upset the apple cart. It is the next logical step in this progression for this council to be confident that we are going forward with a tool that can be used in 2013 even for the establishment, well, for the assessment of the Sea Scallop resource in 2014 as well. If we get any indication that there's a problem, that we're not going to get what we need next year and the year after, that provides us with even more motivation to support any other survey that is in need of money that we can rely on, such as the dredge survey, such as the SMAS survey.
Dr. Pierce, thank you.
I know. It's just frustrating sitting here listening to someone working their way around the motion.
Do you intend to offer an amendment?
Well, I mean, with that explanation that this is not time certain, I'm not sure what to do because as far as the SSC review of the specifications in August or September, that would mean that this particular motion would not apply to that meeting and it would be sometime in the future. So I guess I don't have a motion to amend.
Intend to call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. One, two, three, four, five, six, 14 in favor. Opposed? Abstention? 1. 14-01, the motion carries. Mary Beth, anything further in Scholar?
Well, no. I would just note that the committee did have one other motion that was in response to a request from the Groundfish Committee. We do not need to discuss that today. That will come up under our Groundfish agenda item tomorrow. And one other quick thought. We did, as I said earlier, receive two items of correspondence, one from Senator Kerry and one from Representative Strauss. And I was just wondering if the council, by consensus, would agree that it may be appropriate to respond to the letters very briefly. It seems that there was maybe just a little bit of confusion about our discussion about research priorities and the impacts to the research that will go on in 2012. So if nobody objects, I think we can allow the staff to, just as a courtesy, respond to these two letters.
There was only one that was addressed to us.
Well, they actually came in today, so we had one that was on the table this morning from Representative Strauss, and then we actually got an email that was printed out after that we received a hard copy after lunch from Senator Kerry, so... good. That's a good catch. So maybe we'll only need to respond to the one that's addressed to us. I think that would be fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to turn to Frank quickly. Do you let's try and see if we can wrap up enforcement. If we can't do that, we will have to do enforcement first thing in the morning.
Okay, thank you.